At this moment, I'd like you to pull out your pen or pencil and go over today's text with me one more time, because I'm going to highlight a few places so that it would be easy for you to follow along my message. Pen or pencil and bulletin. Beginning with verse 1, after these things, Jesus manifest himself again. Circle the word again. To the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and manifest himself in this way. And verse 2, the last word, together. Circle that word, together. Verse 3, the last sentence, and that night they caught nothing. The whole sentence, that night they caught nothing. In verse 4, when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Circle the phrase, on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Circle the sentence, did not know that it was Jesus. Verse 5, so Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? Circle that entire sentence with quotation marks. Children, you do not have any fish, do you? And we are moving to verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, circle that phrase, disciple whom Jesus loved. Last one will be in the verse 7, last sentence. Peter threw himself into the sea. Circle that one. But we are moving to verse 9. And so when they got up on the land, they saw a charcoal fire. Circle that two words, charcoal fire, and fish. Circle it, and bread, circle it. And verse 10, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught, circle the entire sentence. And the last one is verse 11, and 153, the number, 153. And we are ready to go into the sermon. And this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, because it depicts, it shows the true character of our Lord Jesus Christ through his interactions with his disciples. I love to talk about this, and you're about to hear from me this morning. Let me begin my sermon with a pop quiz. Consider it a Jeopardy. You know the song. Anyway, $100 question. Bible question. Who started the first man's breakfast ever in the church? Jesus, you got $100. Again, I don't have cash to give away, but you have all the money, you know, accumulated in heaven. Okay. $200 question. How many men attended the first man's breakfast, including Jesus? How many? Warren. 13? Nope. 12? No. It's in the Bible here, in today's text. Verse 2. You can count. Someone says that the Holy Spirit is 153. No, that's not man, that's fish. Okay. Warren? 3? No. 8. Who said 8? Yes. Okay, that's good. The next question, $300 question. What was on the menu? And bread. Bread and fish. The last one, $400 question. Who fixed the breakfast? Jesus did. Yes, we all got. I'll walk you through, as I said, today's text verse by verse. Beginning with verse 1. Jesus manifested himself again. And somehow John the Apostle, who wrote this account, counted how many times the risen Christ appeared to his disciples. And this is the third time he said he was manifested to his disciples. The key word here is again. Jesus wanted to meet his disciples again. Once was not enough to him. He appeared to them again, second time, and again, third time, and again, for the next 40 days. Now why? Think with me, why? Because his interest and his heart was with his disciples, wasn't it? He wanted to be with them. the same Jesus in the 21st century wants to be with us as well. He is most interested in what? The lives of you and mine, his followers. Wherever we are, he is there. Whatever our struggles and challenges are, he knows about them as well. Here's the real question for us. If the same Jesus manifests himself to us again and again, why some of us do not see him manifested anymore? When was the last time you realized that Jesus manifested himself, not in a person maybe, not in a vision, but in a way in your life that, oh, it was Jesus, it was God who helped me? What's missing in our lives? What's the hindrance? Moving to verse 2 together. First to list all the disciples who went fishing with Peter. 7 altogether. And did you notice that among the 7, the doubting Thomas, yes, the same doubting Thomas was included too? Interesting, isn't it? Verse 3, it says, that night they caught nothing. Mind you that out of the 7 people, disciples, there are 3. They used to be, they were the professional fishermen. Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, that is James and John. James was the older brother of John the apostle. Now, I admit that their fishing skills by then might have been a little rusty, if you know what I mean, because they did not catch fish for the 3 years when they worked together with Jesus on land. However, let me tell you, these 3 had been fishermen all their lives, and they still knew about the best time of fishing in the Sea of Galilee, where to go and how to catch fish. Wouldn't you agree with me? Yet, that night, they caught nothing. Ask any fisherman you know. He will tell you that it was nothing unusual. Sometimes they catch, and other times they miss the whole thing. It happens half of the time they fish. That's the life of fishermen, isn't it? Likewise, sometimes, folks, in your life situation, you just don't catch anything, despite your effort and despite your expertise. And sometimes things go well, and other times they don't. That's life, isn't it? That's the mystery. The lesson? When things do not go the way you want them to, you should not despair. You should not panic. You should not even grumble about it. Why? Because it can be the opportunity to meet the risen Christ and experience God's miracles, as the disciples did in today's text. Look at verse 4. On the beach. Jesus manifested himself to his disciples on the beach, the key phrase, on the beach. Now think about the way he appeared to them. Now let me tell you this, he could have chosen many different ways. For instance, remember Jesus walking on the water? How many remember the story Jesus walking on the water? He did. Okay, at night, and all the 12 disciples were sailing in a boat, and when they saw him walking toward them at night, what do you think Jesus was? They thought he was a ghost. And there was a, you know, superstition among the fishermen in Galilee. If you see a ghost in the Sea of Galilee at night, you are dead. Okay? You're done. So they're screaming out, oh, we're done. And Jesus said, no, 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 calm down. It's me. And Peter says, no, if you were, as you claim to be, let me walk towards you. And Jesus says, come. Peter came out of the boat, started walking on the water, few steps, and guess what? He was sinking down because he was afraid of the wind and the waves, right? I believe if I were Jesus, I would say, I'm going to just teach him a lesson again. And appear again in the Sea of Galilee, walking toward the boat, and Peter, hey, Peter, come out again. Let's get it right this time. You see what I'm saying? He could have done it that way, but he didn't. Or he could have just chosen to appear in the middle of the boat right there, but he didn't choose. What did he do? He appeared on the beach in the morning when the 7 disciples caught nothing. You know what he tells me? The Lord wants to meet us in our life situations. He does not stay aloof from our struggles or challenges, and he walks right into our lives and meet with us where we are, right there and right then, knowing exactly what we are up to or against. Now think of today's story. Jesus already knew that they did not catch a thing, any fish that night. Even before they admitted, no, we don't have any fish. He already knew about it. We are moving on to verse 5 here. Children, you do not have any fish, do you? Look here. Jesus raised the question in a way that he expected a negative answer from the disciples. Of course, the answer was no. Likewise, Jesus knows everything going on in our lives in every single moment. It tells me he truly cares for us and cares about our daily needs. So when Jesus shouted to them, do you have any fish at all? And the disciples in verse 4, going back to verse 4, did not know that it was Jesus. At first, seven altogether, none of them recognized him at all, understandably, because they were about 100 yards apart. How many of you could actually, seeing the someone, you know, 100 yards away, their face, recognize, oh, that person I know. How many of you could remember, do that? Warren, yeah, good for you, Warren. He could recognize his mom. That's my mom, right? Most of us don't. So no exception. Seven of them failed to recognize Jesus. However, somehow, John, the apostle, recognized first. Mind you, from the same distance. Then he told Peter, oh, it is the Lord, if you remember verse 7. And then at the breakfast table, everyone, all the disciples, knew that it was Jesus the Lord. My question is this. How did John recognize Jesus first? Mind you, he did not have any binoculars, you know. Why did the rest of the disciples fail to recognize Jesus at the same time? What made John so much different from the others? Did John have a better sense of recognizing the voice of the Lord, perhaps? Or did he have better eyesight than the rest of them? Might be the case. But I believe John, the apostle, over the 3 years that he walked with Jesus, developed the keen sense of the Lord's presence. He paid attention to the Lord, his presence, his, you know, words and his words and all these things. Now, here's an example. Did you know that John was the disciple whom Jesus loved? You circled it this morning. The disciple whom Jesus loved. And that single phrase appeared 5 times altogether in the Gospel of John. Furthermore, he was really close to Jesus, I could say. Why? Because in the Last Supper, when Jesus has Last Supper, he reclined right next to Jesus on his right side. I'm using the right word, reclined at the table. You know, in back then, they did not sit around the table like we do, eating. No, they were reclining, using this left side, elbow, forearm, and just hold against the ground. So you go like this, about 30 degrees, and then your legs, whole body go to the right. That's the reclining position. So Jesus was reclining this, and who do you think on his right reclining next to Jesus? It was John the Apostle. Okay? I almost could say that he could have heard Jesus' heartbeat because his head is right next to Jesus here. Okay? What's the lesson here? Those people who really love the Lord and obey him from their hearts will recognize Jesus and his manifestations more often and faster than the others. We're moving on. After hearing John saying that it was the Lord, guess what our favorite character Peter did? He threw himself into the sea. He could not wait until they brought the boat to the shore. Now, the way I say it is this. Peter loved the Lord more than the fish that they caught. That's why I believe Jesus loved Peter despite his shortcomings. Remember, it was the same Peter who denied the Lord how many times? 3 times in one night. Folks, like Peter, we all have shortcomings. We all have weaknesses in our walk with God. Sometimes we deny the Lord. Other times we sin against God with full knowledge that it is wrong. I've done it. I've been there. Yet you know what? What's comforting to know, God looks at our heart. Is your heart close to God's? Is your heart after God's own, like David? King David, I'm talking about. Did you know that King David was the murderer? Did you know that he was the adulterer? Did you know that he was a liar? Yet the Bible says that David was after God's own heart. What does it tell me? God does not look for a perfect soul, but looks for the one who desires the Lord, the giver, more so than the, all the gifts in the world. Remember, Peter's heart was with Jesus. He didn't care less all the fish they caught. So finally, when the disciples arrived at the beach, they found, verse 9, charcoal fire, fish, and bread. The table was already set up on the beach by the servant king. Jesus fixed the breakfast for his disciples. The way I see it, he is compassionate and considerate and humble. The master could have ordered the disciples to fix the breakfast and serve him. Yet he did not please himself. Rather, he prepared the meal by himself. Isn't that amazing? That's the Lord we have, and that's the Lord we worship and serve, and that's the Lord we must imitate. To his disciples, Jesus asked in verse 10, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Why did Jesus ask them to bring the fish that they just caught? Even though, listen, he already had fish on the grill, remember? Oh, by the way, it's just one fish. How do I know one fish? The Bible doesn't say it, but the Greek text says so, one fish on the grill. So perhaps he needed more fish than one. But I believe he could have made the life of the disciples much easier. Why bother? I'll fix the whole thing for you. Just come and eat. The lesson? Jesus loves to interact and work with us. We are, partners together. Think of this way. Let's say you have a 3-year-old child in your home. Okay, a girl, in my case. Let's say you just came home after a long day with the briefcase in your hand, walked into the door, and your child, girl, just, hi, daddy, welcome, and just embrace you. And the girl wants to carry your briefcase. Daddy, let me carry this. Of course, you already know it's too heavy for the 3-year-old girl, but you let her do it anyway. Few steps walking together. Although, and the girl was very, proud. Hey, I helped my daddy. But actually, the father who carries the most of the weight. We all know that. Now see the interaction today in today's text between Jesus and his disciples. Jesus commanded them to throw the net on the right side of the boat, and they simply obeyed, and then God's miracle happened. Another one, Jesus already fixed the breakfast. He could have done all the way through, yet he also asked them to bring the fish to the table, and they ate together. Togetherness is a wonderful thing. Now, do you want to experience God's miracles? I do. I'm sure every one of us does. And then, live and learn to work with God. God is waiting for you to respond to his call. Train your heart to listen and obey God's voice. Here's the real challenge for us. How can we work with God when we do not hear God's voice? How can we hear God's voice without paying attention to him daily? I want you to reflect your own daily life schedule. Every one of us has 24 hours. Now you could divide 8 hours to sleep, 6 hours, 7 hours, whatever, 2 hours of exercise, whatever, 2 hours of eating, 2 hours of work, whatever. Now, whatever time left, what do? Some of us spending an hour or two on Facebook, checking on. Some of us watching TV a couple of hours, reading newspaper, reading books, whatever. We all do. Now, whatever you do, where is the time for you to listen to God's voice? Let me tell you this. One of the greatest tragedies among Christians in America is that we don't find time to listen to God's voice. The worst thing happens to us, great disservice we do to ourselves, is what? We miss out the great opportunity to work with God. That's the sad reality in America. I want you to reflect on, how do I find time to listen to God's voice through prayer and through His Word? If we don't hear God's voice, we'll miss out working together with Him. One last point about the catch. How many fish did they catch? 153 fish. Why not just, I thought, just a handful of fish, maybe 12, right? How many fish can one man eat, right? Maybe two. So 12 or 14 would take care of it. Instead, 153, not just ordinary sized fish, large fish, the scripture says, full of the gnats. You know, that reminds me of the story of mine. Once I went to the half-day boat fishing out, several miles out in the ocean in New Jersey. It happened to be the mackerel fish. How many went to the mackerel fishing? Oh, it was so much fun, so much fun. And I'm not a fisherman at all, but let me tell you, that day I caught 29 mackerels. My record, 29. It's so easy. You don't need any bait. Each, you know, line has like three or four hooks. That's all with the artificial whatever bait. So you just sink down and just pull up and just, if you are lucky, you get four fish dangling there and struggling, of course. But each one about this size. I don't know whether it's from here to here considered large fish. Let's say large fish. But each one weighs about 1 pound in my, you know, estimate. It was so much fun catching those things. 29. I cannot imagine 153 large fish, the disciples struggling, you know, bringing it in. Imagine that. Abundance. And more than they ever imagined. You know, that's God's style, I must say. In other words, our God is not stingy. He is very, very generous. He loves to surprise us, you and me, beyond our wildest imagination. Now listen to the promise of God in the scripture. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him, meaning God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. That's God's promise. God's ways surely defy our human expectations, don't they? We tend to limit our God or keep Him in a box. The box of our own imagination and expectation. This much God can, we say, or that much He will do, we believe. However, our God will do far greater things than we ever imagined. We just have to believe. As for closing, I will say this. Jesus our Lord wants to appear again to you today in the 21st century. Are you listening? Can you recognize Him? Are you paying attention to Him in your life? Are things not going well? Do not despair. Jesus knows about it, all of it. Not only He knows what you are up against, He will also provide abundantly beyond your imagination. That's our Lord. Rejoice in Him. Serve and worship and work with Him with all your heart. And He will manifest Himself to you again and again. Let's bow our heads and pray. Before my message is for someone else, Lord, it was for me. You spoke to me. Actually, I repented of my limited expectation or faith what God can do, and He would. So Lord, speak to every one of us present this morning. Open our eyes to see how great You are, how awesome You are. Open our hearts to listen to You, and open our minds to understand Your word, so that we may walk with You daily. No more, no longer, being a Christian is a cliche or even just boring. No, it's got to be exciting as the disciples experienced Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.